I understand that. Yes, sir, I know that. Because if you're sitting here this morning and all this stuff is foreign to you, weird, alien to you, mark this down, you are lost. The Holy Ghost, Brother Skip, will bear witness in our heart. When somebody's testifying about being saved, y'all, I've literally, Brother Heath, met people I never met in my life. I mean, I'm trying to slow down more now in my preaching schedule, but used to be for years and years I was in a different church every week preaching, people I never met. And I'd be in there, Brother Danny, and all of a sudden somebody'd stand up and testify like y'all are. Never met them, never seen them, never, don't know them. But they'd start testifying, and son, something in my heart would say, you know what that's about. Y'all got a kinship. Thousands of miles away, states away, countries even away I've been to. And hear somebody talking about being saved, and I say, I know what that's about. Amen. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost on the inside. Hope you've got that witness this morning. The old timers used to call it the witness of the Holy Ghost. That's Bible. I like that. Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. We'll do most of our preaching out of this text, but we are going to go after a while to some portions of Scripture in the Old Testament to further highlight the truth that we're going to try and get across to you this morning that I trust to be a help and a blessing to you. Hebrews chapter number 11. And you know this chapter as the Hall of Faith. And in the middle of the Hall of Faith, we find the father of our faith. Paul says he's the father of all that believe. Abraham's faith is a picture in the Old Testament of our faith in Christ in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8 is where we will begin at this morning and work down our text. Hebrews 11, 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. That's always a good idea. When God speaks, you just obey. The old song said this, Brother Peanut, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The reason why some Christians are not happy on their journey and not enjoying their journey towards heaven is because they're not trusting and obeying. I promise you it makes the ride a lot rougher and rockier if you're not obeying and trusting the Lord from here to heaven. Amen. Said that he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I want you to notice verse 15 with me this morning. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Here in the Hall of Faith, in the story of Abraham's life, in these several verses that we've read this morning, there's an interesting statement that I would like to highlight in your heart and mind and preach out of this morning. Verse number 15, the Bible says this about Abraham and his family that was with him, that truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Now that's an interesting statement this morning, Brother Butch. The Bible said, had Abraham been mindful of the country he came from, he might have had an opportunity to go back to it somewhere throughout his life while he's wandering around through the land of Canaan with God leading him along this morning. Now, I want you to understand something about what I've just read to you. When it says, Brother Randy, that if they had been mindful of that country, that doesn't mean they forgot where they came from. Abraham could have taken you right back to the very spot that he grew up at, that he was raised at, and that he lived at for a lot of years before God got him out in Genesis chapter number 12. It's not saying, Brother Jeff, that Abraham lost his marbles, lost his mind to the world. It looked that way. But the world always thinks God's people have lost their marbles and lost their mind. But you hear me this morning, you and I, that's God's people, we've not been whitewashed. We've not been brainwashed. We've been bloodwashed this morning, and there's a big difference. We might be a bunch of nuts, but we are screwed on to the right bolts. Say amen right there. And here we find the Bible says Abraham wasn't even mindful of where he came from. Brother Randy, that's not saying that he forgot where he came from, but when you look up this statement, what it's saying is this. It is saying that it never entered into Abraham's mind to go back where he came from. He knew where he came from. He remembered where he came from. He could take you back where he came from, Brother Kevin. But it was never an option in the heart and mind of Abraham to go back there. And I'd like to preach for a few minutes this morning on this thought. Going back ain't never crossed my mind. Going back has never crossed my mind. I know where God's brought me from. I know what God has done in our past, and we've heard ladies and men testifying of what God has done back yonder in our past. We ain't forgot about it. We know where we were. We know what we were. But this morning, there's a bunch of us made our mind up. We ain't going back to that. Going back is not an option this morning. Here in the text, we find that it never even became an opportunity. It said in the text, it was not even an opportunity for Abraham. He never even let his heart or mind go back there. He said, God, I'm a going with you. You've been too good to me. You've been too wonderful to me. You've been too gracious to me for me to turn around and go back to the place where you got me from. Now, y'all listen to me. That's interesting that Abraham didn't go back, because there's a lot of people in the Bible this morning, Brother Keith Haynes, that they did go back. We read the Bible said in John chapter 6 in verse 66. John 6:66 says these words verbatim. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Brother Jimmy Johnson, there was people that walked with Jesus, heard the messages, saw the miracles, fellowship with the man, saw the ministry, but yet some things happened in their life that they turned around, made an about face, and said, I'm not walking with you no more. I'm not going with you no more. And they turned around and went back. I read where the Bible said that Lot's wife turned around and she looked back from behind him while they was trying to get out of that godforsaken, wicked, ungodly place of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said, Brother Tony James, that she turned around and had to have one more look. She had to just get one more view of that wicked, ungodly place she was coming from. And when she looked back, the Bible said that she turned into a pillar of salt. And it was such a monumental occasion that even Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, remember Lot's wife. What's he saying about that? He's saying you better remember somebody that I tried to get them to leave an ungodly place, and instead of just walking with me, they turned around and they looked back. Can I say this morning, you can be sitting in church and your body ain't went back, but your eyes have went back. Your body may be sitting here, but your heart and your mind and your eyes has already started looking back and thinking it don't look that bad. Maybe it ain't as bad as what I remember it being. Oh no, it's just as bad as you remember it, and it's a whole lot worse. Let me say this to every young person in the building. A lot of you young people, you don't have a testimony of alcohol and sex and drugs and booze and all this stuff. Mark this down. The devil will come to you and say, hey, the way these guys and these ladies make the world out to be, it ain't that bad. I mean, there's a lot of fun out there. No, sir, it's every bit as bad and worse than what they're saying, and there ain't nothing worth looking back for. We find the disciples turned around and went back. We find Lot's wife went back. I read in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Brother Chad, where a man named Demas went back. The Bible said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How in God's name, Brother JC, could you fellowship with a preacher like Paul? How in the world could you hear a man preach the scripture like Paul? How in the world could you live clean and right with a man like Paul and then all of a sudden dip out and run out into the hog pen of this world? I'm just telling you, it's possible. And I'm saying that every one of us in here this morning got to keep our mind right and our heart right, because that world and that old life and your flesh and the devil will constantly try and pull you to go back. What you need to do this morning, every mama, every daddy, every child, every blood-washed member of the family of God, you ought to make your mind up like Abraham and say, going back ain't never crossed my mind. It ain't even an option for me this morning. I know what's back there, and I know what's waiting up there, and there ain't nothing back there worth sacrificing what's up there. I'm going with God. I ain't cashing in on what God's done in my life. I ain't going to backpedal on what God's done in my life. Going back is not an option in my life this morning. Sever your ties, burn your bridges, and walk on with God this morning. Hey, you want to know why Abraham didn't even cross his mind to go back? Because Brother Charlie, where he was headed was far better than where he come from. Look what your book said in verse number 16. Right after it said, had they been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Verse 16. But now they desire a better. It's better. It's a better country that is an heavenly. Can I say this morning, what God's got waiting on us up yonder is better than anything this world's got down here. I like what old George Beverly Shea sung years and years ago. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than to be the king of a vast domain. I'd rather have Jesus than houses and lands and silver and gold and fame and fortune. I'm telling you, walking with God, living for Jesus, it might not be glamorous to this world. It might not look awesome to this world, but brother, it still brings peace in our hearts. It still gives joy to our homes. It still rescues our families. And I know where I'm headed to. And it's better. It's better. It's better. You say it's better than what? It's better than anything in this world. It's better than any fun. It's better than any friends. It's better than any fellowship. It's better than anything this world's got to offer. Thank God, I'm glad that there's a better country awaiting on us. And going back ain't never crossed my mind this morning. Some of y'all this morning, listen to me, some of y'all this morning need to quit playing with this thing and just go ahead and get on an altar at the end of this service and just cash all your chips in. Make your mind up and say, it ain't even an option for me. It's not an option, Brother Zander, to go back. I'm going with God. Now let me say this just real quick. I got three little bitty points that I'm going to give you, but let me say this by way of introduction just real quick. If you're going to make your mind up that it ain't going to cross your mind to go back, that you're going to walk with God, mark this down. Listen to me real quick by way of introduction. Say, preacher, what you're preaching, I'm with you. I want that. I'm down like four flat tires, preacher. I mean, I am with you on that this morning. Yes, sir. Praise God. I believe it. Well, mark this down. If you're going to get all in on going back, never crossed your mind, listen to me. There's going to be some people you'll have to leave behind. Hey, some people you're going to have to leave behind. Why? Because they ain't going the same place you're going, and they don't want what you want. That Bible said, Brother Jack, that when God got Abraham out, this is what he said. He said, get out from your country, from your family, from your kindred, from your father. You got to cut them all off. Why? Because they're all a bunch of idol worshipers. And if you let them go with you, Brother Carl, they will suck you back to your old country. Y'all listen to me. That Bible said that Abraham partially obeyed God, Brother Hunter, and he took his nephew Lot with him. Bad choice, bad choice. Brother Roger, God said, leave them all. Don't take them with you. And he took Lot, and you know what happened, don't you? He took a fellow with him that had Sodom in his heart. And it caused trouble in their family. It caused trouble with their herdsmen. And finally, old Lot showed his true colors when Abraham said, hey, you choose where you want to go. Just take a choice. And when Lot made his choice, he didn't choose to go with God. He chose to go with the world. Now, you mark this down. There are some people that if you keep hanging around them, they're going to drag you back to that old country. I'm not saying you can't be friendly. I ain't saying you can't invite them to church. I ain't saying you can't pray for them. You ought to. But as far as being closely associated, there are some people that when you hang around them, they will put you right back in that old life that God got you out of this morning. Wasn't that the problem with Israel? Ain't that what got Israel backsliding in the wilderness? The Bible said in the wilderness, Brother Dan Dunphy, that the Bible said it was the mixed multitude that fell a-lusting. Say, where'd they come from? That's that crowd they brought out of Egypt with them. When God's people left Egypt, they brought some of Egypt's people with them. And it was those people that started pushing and prompting God's people to want flesh instead of enjoying the manna and the milk and the honey that God had provided. I'm with you, preacher. Going back never crossed my mind. It will if you keep Lot around. You hang on to that Lot long enough in your life, it'll start crossing your mind. You better replace your lots with some people that want to go the same way you're going, that ain't looking back, pulling back, walking back, running back. Replace the lots with some people that love the Bible, love God, love church, love living clean, and want to go that way this morning. That's the people you got to leave behind. Mark this down too. Mark this down if you're going go this way and never go back. Some problems will lie in your path. Not only are there some people you have to leave behind, but there will be some problems that will lie in your path. Y'all mark this down. When you read about God getting Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, you know what you start finding in Abraham's life, Brother Zach? He starts having problems. Well, I thought, preacher, when I got on that altar and I give everything to God and I started reading the Bible and I started praying and I started giving and I started worshiping and I started showing up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night and going to revivals and I started witnessing and I started trying to change my music and change my friends and I started trying to walk with God and really do what God wants me to do, I thought I would never have a problem in my life. Psych! Do these kids understand that word? That's an old word. Do you not get that? Y'all didn't eat? Oh, I don't know if y'all got it. What do you say? Psych, psych, your mama rides a motorbike? Anyway. Y'all don't ride it? Didn't get, never heard that one? That's a good one. That's like one of them your mama joke type things. Yeah, your mama rides a motorbike. Anyways, I'm telling you, these people got this in their mind, Brother Jason, that if I walk with God and do what I'm supposed to do, I ought not to have no problems. I don't know what you've been listening to. You've been watching too much Disney preaching. Mickey Mouse as a pastor or something like that that's just pumping cotton candy and sunshine, you know, into your life 24/7. That's just not Bible. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. It's an absolute certainty. Yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. As a matter of fact, what I find out, Brother Mike Stogner, is that when you sell out to live for God, the problems will probably increase. Yeah. You say, why? The devil wants to try and get you to go back. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The devil will resist you and fight you and hinder you and try and stop you, Brother Zeke, from going where God wants you at this morning. Make your mind up. There ain't no problem that's going to keep me from walking with God. There ain't no problem that's going to keep me from worshiping at the house of God. There ain't no problem that's going to keep me out of the Word of God. I'm not saying you won't have problems. I'm not saying there won't be mental problems. I'm not saying there won't be marital problems. I'm not saying there won't be money problems. There will be all of these problems. Here's how you go make it. Go ahead and make your mind up before the problem comes that that's not stopping me from going with God. That's not hindering me and making me go. I have literally met people that when problems started in their life, they turned around and went back. The heat just got too much in the kitchen. The burdens just got too heavy. You make your mind up. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Whatever the problem, whatever the sorrow, whatever the outcome of my problem, if it doesn't turn out like I want it to, if God doesn't answer my prayer like I wish he would, going back will not cross my mind. Some Christians enter salvation's relationship with God like a lot of Americans enter marriage today. You know how Americans enter marriage today? They enter them with prenuptial agreements. You know what that stuff is? That's this. I'm entering this, going ahead and planning on, just in case this don't work. I'm already entering this thing knowing you got yours and I got mine and the twain never shall meet. We're going to live together and we're going to have the same name, put a ring on, but just in case this don't work out. That's that Hollywood marriage mentality. And that's sorry and wicked and ungodly and low down, and that ain't Bible this morning. That Bible's when you get married, two become one. One flesh. That's a picture of salvation is what it is. When I got saved, I didn't get saved sitting there at the altar, Brother Noah, and say, well, Lord, save me. I'm lost and going to hell. Lord, save me. Please, God, for Jesus' sake. But if it don't work out, I got a backup plan. Oh, no. You won't ever get saved that way. You get saved throwing your whole soul and your whole eternity on Jesus, not thinking I might go back. No. Knowing I'm going with God this morning. So just mark this down. There's some people you have to leave behind. There's some problems that will lie in your path. But then let me just give you three things real quick and we're done. There's got to be some points you need to live by. Going back never crossed my mind. Must be some points you need to live by. What are the reasons, Brother Cody Eagle, that going back never crossed Abraham's mind? There's three reasons that I want to give you why going back never crossed his mind. And they should be your reasons too. Let me say number one, the first reason I find is number one, he was discovered by a God that was real. He was discovered by God, a God that was real. Say, what are you talking about? Hold your place in Hebrews 11 and run with me to the last chapter of Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the sixth book of your Old Testament. Watch what your Bible said in the last chapter, in Joshua chapter 24. There's a commentary that Joshua gives about Abraham. Watch what he talks about. He's discovered by a God that's real. Why didn't Abraham go back? Because he remembered where God found him. He remembered when he wasn't looking for God, God was looking for him. Look at Joshua 24, verse number 2. Joshua 24, 2, discovered by a God that was real. Joshua 24, 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Joshua 24, 2. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, the other side of the Jordan. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. Watch the last five words of verse 2. Watch this. Talking about Abraham and his daddy. And his brother, watch what it said about them. And they, including Abraham, served other gods. Abraham remembers. Brother Devon, I was living down there in Ur of the Chaldees, and I was worshiping little g gods. Abraham was a lost heathen Gentile on his way to hell, bowing down, worshiping gods that his own hands had made, running towards hell, just as hard and as fast as he could go, not thinking about there's a God in heaven, not thinking about judgment to come. He's just living his life, making money, doing his own thing, enjoying his life, his wife, his all his land and all his money and cattle. He's just doing his own thing. But watch what it said in verse 3. They served other gods. Verse 3, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. You say, why didn't going back ever cross Abraham's mind? Because he remembered there was a day when God discovered him, when he realized that there was a God who wasn't fake, that there was a God who Abraham figured out, I found a God that I don't have to pick up and carry around, but he picks me up and carries me around. Abraham was, Abraham weren't looking for God, but God came a looking for Abraham. And God, I love the hound out of this. Brother Beaver, God didn't go looking for some religious do-gooder. God didn't go looking for somebody that had all of his I's dotted and his T's crossed. But God didn't say, only one and the only kind I want are the kind who's got it all straightened out. Oh no. But he walked down into a heathen land. And he walked into a godless land. And he walked into a wicked land. And he walked into an idol-worshiping Gentile land. And he said, I'll take you just like you are, but I won't leave you like I found you. You want to know why Abraham, you want to know why it never crossed his mind to go back? It never crossed his mind to go back because he remembered that God come and got him, that there was a God that saved him, that there was a God that brought him out of that mess. You say, what should be the reason why going back shouldn't cross my mind? You ought to remember there's a day in your life where you got discovered, where you was running hard and fast to hell, whiskey bitten, hell bound, just doing your own thing, living your own life, walking your own way. But by the good grace of God, the Lord came by your way, showed you how miserably, helplessly, hopelessly lost you were, and he saved you, put your feet on a rock, establish you going, put you in a new family, washed you in his blood, saved you by his grace, gave you a new home in heaven. And you ought to say, God, I ain't a going back. How could I ever go back on a God that rescued me, that redeemed me, that reconciled me, that bought me, that paid for me? He's worthy of me going on with this morning. Hey, y'all, going back ought never to cross your mind, but you ought never to forget where you come from either. It ought never to cross your mind that I want to go back, but don't ever forget where you was when God got you. Woo! This morning, all of us have a testimony. Who was talking about testimony? Brother David was. All of us ought to have a testimony, regardless of what it is, of when and where we were, not when we discovered God, but when God threw the light on and discovered us. I sure am glad. You say, man, like I was talking about earlier about people thinking that folk in church ain't got no problems. Some of y'all sitting here this morning, you look around, all these ladies in dresses and these men in shirts and ties. Man, all these bunch of religious Pharisees. They all looking down their nose at me and all this. No. You just didn't see them when God got them. Right. See, you're judging us thinking we're judging you. We ain't judging you. You judging us. You ain't got a clue where we come from. You wasn't there when Jesus reached way down a narrow pierced hand and picked up a bunch of old trash off the dirt floor of hell's hole and put them in the family of God. You wasn't there. I hadn't thought about this, Brother David, I'll bet, in 20 years. And I was pondering and thinking about it this morning. The very first dog that I ever remember having in my life. I don't know how many of y'all can remember the first dog you ever had. But I was thinking about it. Ain't nothing like your first dog. You people that ain't dog lovers, y'all need to come down here and get saved this morning. If you're a cat lover, snake lover, spider lover. Cliff Jackson, you listening? Well, he's in children's church. He needed to be in here for this message. Praise God. Need God. But we had dogs. Love dogs. I watch them videos online of dogs, and I literally look at them videos, Brother Mark, and I say, we truly are not worthy of dogs. Amen. Love dogs. Anyways, I remember our first dog. Daddy had his own little business, and he did some door-to-door selling of different product. And I remember one day he come home in his little old truck and had a little old box. I couldn't have been more than 5, 6 years old, Brother Travis. I was just a little fella. I was probably about the size of Turner, just a little fella. And I remember Daddy had a little old box. We looked over in there, and I'll never forget this. In that little old box was this little old yellowish, goldish. She looked like a wolf. She was part wolf, as a matter of fact. She was part wolf and part retriever. Weirdest looking thing you ever seen. Had wolf ears, these wolf looking eyes. It was an odd looking dog. And she had the mange. Come to us with the mange. Hand of God. True story. You can call my mama and ask her. I was calling her. I talked to her this morning just to refresh my memory, make sure I had a. I was like, Mama, am I remembering this right? I ain't making this up in my mind. And she said, no, that's the way it happened. Daddy had been up at this person's house. They couldn't pay everything they needed to pay on what they bought from him. And they said, look, I'll tell you what, we'll pay part of it, but we'll give you a puppy. He said, deal, my kids would love it. Brought this little old dog home, part wolf, and had the mange. And Daddy kept saying, stay away from it. Let's get it cleaned up and get it Main Street. Stay away from it. But it's a puppy, man. That dog got all up on us, and we got all up on it, Brother Parks. And me, my brother, and my mother all got the mange. Lord, I apologize for doing that this morning. That was wrong. I love you, son. He gonna need therapy after this preaching session. That kid about jumped out of his skin. It's just a God's blessing. I ain't foaming at the mouth this morning, giving people rabies. Y'all better be careful in the spit zone. Y'all gonna end up foaming at the mouth too. Get what I got? We all got the mange. That dog ended up growing out of that, and I'm telling you, that dog became the greatest dog till she got hit by a car one day, years down the road. That was the greatest dog I ever had in my life. I remember that dog protecting us. We'd be in the woods, and I remember her getting in between us and start growling and barking, and come to find out it was a rattlesnake over there. I remember her being outside. When it get cold, she'd come inside and crawl in the bed with us. Her name was Sarah, best dog we ever had in our life. And I will never forget... I mean, Sarah was something, man, especially when she grew up, looked kind of wolfish. She was something looking. Big old dog. And I remember people would come over to the house, and they'd look at that dog, and they'd ask my daddy. They'd say, that's an odd-looking dog. I said, yeah, it's got some wolf in her and all. And they said, man, she's pretty, though. And he said, boy, I'll tell you what, this, I'll never forget this. And he'd always tell them the story. He'd say, but you ought to have seen her when we got her. Brother Jimmy Johnson, he'd start telling them about how he got her way out there in the country somewhere, brought her home, and how she had mange all over, how messed up she was till we got her cleaned up, and now she's this good family dog. And they'd say, wow, what about that? Son, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, here you and I said this morning, bunch of old Gentile dogs, God got us way out there in the wilderness of our sin, all scarred up and messed up by our own sin and by the bad decisions of our own life, but look at what God's done with us. You didn't see us when God got us, but look what God has done with a bunch of old messed up Gentile dogs that he's bought and put in his family. You say, why y'all so loud? We're barking about our master. He's been good to us. He's been better to us than we deserve. How could we ever go back when somebody discovered us this morning? Going back never crossed my mind. Why did it not cross Abraham's mind? Because he was discovered by a God that was real. Can I say this? Not only was he discovered by a God that was real, tell you why going back never crossed his mind, he was directed by a grace that was remarkable. He was directed by grace that was remarkable. Watch what your Bible said there in Joshua 24. If you still got your book open, watch verse 3. Watch what it said here. Joshua 24:3. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. But then watch what it said. And led him throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. The Bible said back in our text in Hebrews 11 that when Abraham went out, that the Bible said this. The Bible said, Brother Jimmy, that he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham, how'd you make it? Out there in the wilderness with thieves and animals and robbers and weather. And how'd you make it? And Abraham would just say, it's been the grace of God. God's grace has led me. God's grace has sustained me. God's grace has directed me. And can I just say this morning, while going back ain't ever crossed my mind, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Abraham was not a self-made man. Abraham wouldn't bow his chest out and say, look what I've done, and look how far I have brought myself. Oh, no. Abraham would bow his unworthy head, lift his unworthy hands, and say, look what God has done. Y'all, this morning, I have nothing to boast of. I have nothing to brag of. All I can boast and brag in is, look what God has done. I wouldn't be here today if God's grace hadn't led me here. I wouldn't have the wife I have today if God's grace hadn't led me to her, led her to me. I wouldn't have the children I have today if God's grace hadn't brought them here. I wouldn't have the peace in my heart today, Brother Trey, if it weren't for the grace of God. I can't brag on Cody. I can't brag on Zorn, but I can sure brag on a mighty God and his awesome, almighty, amazing grace that has been good in my life. Grace directed him. I study in Abraham's life, and grace, Brother John Collins, just keeps on directing him. It directs him through a famine. The Bible talks about in Genesis chapter number 12, I believe it is, right after God calls him out, there's a famine. You know, Abraham don't know what to do. There ain't no food, there ain't no water. What am I supposed to do? How'd he get through the famine? God's grace. You've had some famines in your life. Dry, barren, waste lands. You didn't know what to do, how to make it out of that. Said he walked throughout Canaan not knowing whither he went. He didn't have his GPS and say, well, I think I'm going this way. He didn't have his Rand McNally map his own life out. No. He said, if I get where I'm going, it'll only be because of the grace of God. God got him through the famine. God got him through his fears. Abraham's a fearful fellow. You said, I thought he's the father of faith. Well, he is, but you ought to read about Abraham. He's scared of a lot of stuff. And God even brings him in the grace of God. You know what God brought him through? Not just his fears, not just the fights he went through with them kings, not just the famines. God's grace led him through his failures. I know, once again, I know ain't none of y'all got no failures. So let me preach to me for a minute. I'm going to preach to me for a minute. I read about Abraham's life, and Abraham fails a lot, Brother Mike Udy. He ain't supposed to hook up with Hagar, wind up with Ishmael. That's a big, big goose egg failure, Brother Archie Tucker. God's grace got him through that. Abraham doubts God time after time. What's God do? God just gives him grace. And I sure have failed the Lord a whole bunch. But I'm here to brag on the fact that he ain't never failed me. And as many times as I have failed, Brother Paul, the Lord, I'm glad his grace has been sufficient. His grace has been evident and present. And it has led me here. Going back ain't never crossed my mind. I was discovered by a God that's real. I've been directed by a grace that is remarkable. Lastly, I'm done. I've been preaching almost 40 minutes. I'm done right here. He was delighted by a gain that was rich. He was delighted by a gain that was rich. Would you look at one more portion of Scripture and we're out of here. Genesis 15. Go all the way to Genesis with me and look at chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, we find that Abraham has just got done fighting with some kings to save his nephew Lot. And Brother Lance, after he fights these kings and he whips them, the Bible says then the king that he saved, the king of Sodom, that's who he ended up saving. The Bible said the king of Sodom in chapter 14 said, I want to give you riches. Man, I'm fixing to make you a billionaire with a B. And Abraham tells him in chapter 14, no thanks. Talking about he's delighted by a gain that's rich. No thanks. I'm going to make you a billionaire with a B. No thanks. Why? I'll tell you why. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. And I am thy exceeding great reward. Brother Fields, this is what Abraham said. I don't need what the world's got. I need what God's got. And this is what Abraham found out. Abraham found out that the Lord was better. No. The Lord was exceedingly 10 times better than the world was. You know why some people go back? I'm done right here. You know why some people go back? Listen to me. Here's why some people go back. Because they think that what the world's got is better than what God's got. They think, wow, look at the stuff I could have. Look at the friends I could have. Look at the fun I could have. That's so much better than just being cooped up. Serving God, walking with the Lord, and living for Jesus. That's so much better. Oh, but I'm telling you, if you'll ever just lay it all in the lap of God, I mean not half-heartedly, I mean all in on God, you know what you'll find out? God's so much better. God's exceedingly better. He does exceedingly abundantly above better. He's a 10 times better God. I ain't got no sad stories to tell. I can't stand up here and tell you how bad it's been serving God, how bad it's been preaching, how bad it's been pastoring, how bad it's been evangelizing. How bad it's been raising my babies in church. How bad it's been walking with God with my wife and my spouse. Oh no, I can't tell you none of them. What I can tell you is it's better. It's better. It's better. And if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it all again. I'd give him all of it again. I'd give him more. And I'd give it to him sooner because he's better this morning. And Abraham would probably say something like this: each day that I live, he gives me more than I need. I could never describe God's goodness to me. Y'all, if you ask how I make it day after day, there's only one thing I can say. Well, it's been a long journey, but I have been blessed walking with Jesus. I have no regrets. He is so good to me. I must confess the way has been long, but I'm blessed. We got the choir rocking now, praise God. We're going to sing another verse of it, and y'all hit the chorus with me. Now I've had my share of sunshine and rain. Oh, yeah, problems, y'all. Days filled with laughter, my nights filled with pain. But with every mile as I travel this way, the journey gets sweeter each day. Help me, y'all. It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed walking with Jesus. I have no regrets. He is so good to me. Esther, help me up here. All I've tried to get across to you this morning is this. Make your mind up. Make your heart up. That going back ain't never going to cross your mind. Problems? Yes. Burdens? Yes. Failures in your own life? Yes. Sure. Times you let the Lord down, let yourself down, let God's people down. All of us, yes. But going back, say, but I failed. And now I'm going to come back to church and everybody's going to know I failed. Make your mind up. Going back, that ain't an option. I'm staying with God. Going back, no. Staying with God. Maybe this morning you've never been discovered by God, never been saved. This don't bear witness with you. Won't you come to Christ this morning, get born again, get saved. Come thank God for being so good in your life, leading you to here. Let's all stand this morning. Father, I pray that you take the few simple little words that was spoken. Let them pierce our hearts. I know they have mine in study and in preparation. And I pray they would your people. How could we go back on a God that discovered us, that's directed us, that has delighted us? How could we go back on a God like that? Though friends may leave, though family may leave, help us to make our mind up. We're walking with God all the way to the city. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to